You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Corey Johnson and Carol Masser on Bloomberg Radio.
Time to wake up, set the clock, punch it. I go to work.
Yeah, a lot more Americans going back to work in the month of June compared to what economists were forecasting. A payroll growth accelerating by the most since October after we saw a bit of a lull over the last 2 months. Doug Sciocca back with us, Chief Executive Officer, partner at Cavour Capital Partners, $460 million in assets under management based in Leawood, Kansas. And along with Doug, we've got Patrick Newport. He's economist at IHS Global Insight on the phone from Lexington, Massachusetts.
And we couldn't get Cool Moe Dee. We can only get the tune.
Hey, Patrick, let me kick it off with you. Economists had a hard time calling this one. Take us through the report. What surprises you? What gives you comfort? What still gives you some unease?
Well, we're never surprised by the employment report because it's, the numbers are so badly measured. The standard error is plus or minus 115,000. So when you say the job growth increased by 287,000, that's a wonderful number, but there's a 10% chance that it may have dropped by, that it may have increased by say 150,000. It's so imprecisely measured that you need to look at the trends, and the trends show that job growth is actually slowing, that the participation rate hasn't increased all that much. So overall, I would say it's a sigh of relief because the numbers are much stronger than we anticipated. But if you look at the average of them in recent months, they're not as good as they've been in the recent past.
This number was through the roof. Doug, what do you take of what we saw this morning? You know, what's hilarious to me is that each of the last 2 months we've been talking about revisions almost before the ink is dry and the number is at prints.
Right.
I wonder what you think of today.
I mean, I probably took more optimistic points from today's number than Patrick has expressed. I think going in, the big question with this morning's number was whether we had realized the kind of peak payroll growth trajectory in the first quarter of 15, right? The trend, not the actual absolute number, which was 2.3%. And if we did, right, then there are implications as it relates to general indictment of the economy, whether it puts the Fed on what seems to be perceived perma hold, or if it was generally just a dip and then we would be in recovery mode. And this morning actually appeared to make the case for that dip camp. So I was a little bit dismayed at the fact that we didn't see much traction in wage growth. That could be a function of the higher participation rate, so it could be a little bit of an offset. You know, one of the things that gets very little attention, and maybe because there are so many moving parts and its input factors, but you know, Janet Yellen references quite often this labor market conditions index,
right?
And that probably got a lift today because there are 19 different factors that comprise that index. 12 of them registered in with this morning's data, and of those, they were disproportionately positive.
And we get that report on Monday, so we'll get a better feel. You're right. She looks at several
right.
different reads, Doug, when it comes to what's going on in the labor market. I don't know, Patrick. You know, you look at this economic cycle. We're certainly a lot better than we were coming off the crisis. But we're just kind of stuck in low gear. And maybe this is just how it is for a while, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I think that's the way it is. And the key driver behind this is productivity. We've just seen a big slowdown in productivity over the last 10 years, and there.
What's wrong with productivity?
Well, that's. I think you've got 10 different opinions if you ask 10 different economists. But basically, there are three points of view. One of them is that things just aren't being measured very well, and others that innovations. Well, two views. The other is that we just aren't innovating as well as we have in the past. And the third view is that it's a combination of the two. But I think the general view now is that it's just slowed down. It's not measurement, and there's no good reason to expect it to go up anytime soon.
I can't figure what the structural causes of this lack of productivity are, but I feel like there's something going on. Any guesses? You guys are smarter than me.
Doug, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a third camp. I guess Patrick laid out three, but one of the three was a combination of the prior two. But there's also this retrenchment camp, and I read this interesting piece in the New York Times not long ago, and the author of the story had talked about, you know, comparative period back in the early 90s, you know, when the internet revolution was taking place, and the productivity trends were well below sort of the historical mean. And part of that was a lot of pent-up toiling and anticipation of considerable productive contributions. And they use an example, which I thought anecdotally makes a lot of sense, but that of, all of the blood, sweat, and tears going into the electric car market with virtually nothing at this point to show for it.
Right.
And I thought that in the driverless car market, electric car market, but the combination of the two, I thought that was really, really interesting, right? There are many other issues that are so maybe in prior generation considered futuristic, but that could have major global impacts economically, but the timing on when we actually see that realization may be a little bit far in the offing. But again, not to take too rosy of a perspective on it, but I think that could be a consideration that is inhibiting productivity coming through in fine fashion right now.
We're talking with Doug Sciocca, Chief Executive Officer Partner at Cavour Capital Partners, along with Patrick Newport, Economist at IHS Global Insight. Patrick, I think, you know, Doug brings up a good point. Maybe there's a lag before we start to see what's going on right now, whether it's driverless cars and other things, before they catch up and really have an economic impact.
I think that's an excellent point, because we are innovating. We are seeing innovations in medicine and technology, and across the economy, it's just not showing up in the numbers. So I think that's an interesting point, and maybe we will see a surge sometime over the next 4 years as these innovations start translating into market activities.
Although I met with an investor last night who was talking about I've met with a couple of investors the last couple of nights, and there's been this kind of discussion about how capital expenditures are smaller these days. How going to the cloud means you go to Amazon Web Services, you don't have to build a whole IT center. How you start businesses with two guys, a dog, and a computer in the back room. That the capital investment required isn't as big, and maybe that's a cause of this lack of productivity. Doug?
I think that's a great point. I mean, think about the rough math, because productivity is directly tied to labor force participation. And if you think back in January of 2001, the U.S. labor force was just shy of 195 million people. And now it's about 203 million people. That's a 6% increase in the past 15 years. Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
just got
the
about,
population of the U.S.
Just got a few seconds. No, I just got about 10 seconds here, Doug.
The population's increased a lot more, so you ultimately, unless you're seeing a reduction in GDP, which we're not, eventually that lag in productivity, I think, will come through in the numbers. So I think he's right, Corey, and I think it's pent up, and I think we're going to realize in the next few years.
Insightful thoughts. Hey, Doug, thank you so much. Doug Sciocca, CEO and partner at Cavour Capital Partners. Patrick Newport, our thanks to you as well, economist at IHS Global Insight. This is Bloomberg.